Our Bible school theme this week is the big fish, and it's about Jonah. So we're going to look a little bit about Jonah today, and I must say to you that most of the time I know exactly what I'm going to be preaching about when I get to church on Sunday morning. My method of operation is on Sundays, and Kobe and I had this conversation yesterday asking me about how I did what I do, and I'm not saying it's right, but on Sunday nights and on Mondays, I began to think about trying to figure out where God is leading me and the message that he wants to have me to attempt to deliver. And then I do Bible study on things like commentaries and those kind of things, trying to get the historical context and everything of the scripture. And then I just kind of throw it in the crock pot. And on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, it's just going over in my mind. When I'm driving down the road, I'm thinking about it. When I'm going to bed at night, I preach myself to sleep every night, about 3 PowerPoint slides, and I'm gone. So y'all can't do that today. And then I come to church on Sunday mornings early. I like to get here about 7 o'clock. And if you want to be in a place where nobody is and a place where you can have some peace and quiet, you just come to church real early in the morning. Well, no, don't come, because that's my time. And then I put my PowerPoint together. And somebody says, well, what if you get here and things don't work and you can't make a PowerPoint? I said, I'll just preach without a PowerPoint because I've got it in my head. But the PowerPoint thing, putting that together, is kind of putting everything together. And so that's the method that I followed this week. And this one's been stewing in that crock pot for a long time, because I knew what I was going to preach on today because of Bible school. I got here this morning and my computer was playing all kinds of games. Not literal games, it just didn't seem to want to work right. And I began to sit there and I just spent a little time with God, and I said, God, would you please let this come together? And as I began to put everything together, everything that I had been working on all week kind of changed. I had planned to tell you the whole Jonah story. Today we're going to be looking at Jonah chapter 1. And I don't know who's here or who's listening, but I feel that God's power is so big that whatever I change to say is for somebody here, somebody listening. Does that make sense? Do you think God's big enough to do that? Amen. And so I say to you that listen to God today. Get past my voice, but listen to God and let God speak to you. We're going to be reading Jonah chapter 1. It's familiar to you, and you can turn in your Bible, and if you're looking for Jonah, you might have to go to that page that's got the numbers on it, because Jonah's kind of hard to find. It's the second to last book in the Old Testament. It's right behind Micah. And it's right before Obadiah, and Obadiah is one of those 2-page books as well. And so if you get over there about Amos and Hosea and some of those books and toward the end of the Old Testament, you can find Jonah. Why do kids like electronic devices with their Bibles on them? Because they don't have to thumb through the pages. But sometimes I think we might need to go back to having Bible drills and all those kind of things to learn the books in the Bible. And I gave Bibles away for graduation, and somebody told me that the one I gave them this year didn't have the little index tabs. And they'd gotten one when they graduated high school, and I didn't know I ever got anybody with one with the index tabs, but that makes it pretty easy, too. Y'all seen those Bibles? Got those little cutouts there, and it says the book of the Bible. And I guess we ought to learn the books of the Bible, but God likes us whether we know them or not, so. Let's begin reading with verse 1 of chapter 1. You can follow along on the screen if you want to. It says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. get up, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because their evil has come up before me. Jonah got up to flee to Tarshish from the Lord's presence. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. He paid the fare and went down into it to go to them with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord threw a great wind onto the sea, and such a great storm arose on the sea that the ship threatened to break apart. The sailors were afraid, and each one cried out to his God. They threw the ship's cargo into the sea to lighten the load, and meanwhile, Jonah had gone down to the lowest part of the vessel and had stretched out and fallen into a deep sleep. The captain approached him and said, "What are you doing sound asleep? Get up, call to your God. Maybe this God will consider us and we won't perish." "Come on," the sailors said to each other, "let's cast lots. Then we will know who it is to blame for this trouble we're in." So they cast lots, and the lot singled out Jonah. Then they said to him, tell us who is to blame for this trouble we're in. What is your business, and where are you from? What is your country, and what people are you from?" He answered them, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of the heavens, who made the sea and the dry land." Then the men were seized by a great fear and said to him, "What is this you've done?" The men knew he was fleeing from the Lord's presence because he had told them. So they said to him, "What should we do to you so that the sea will calm down for us?" For the sea was getting worse and worse. He answered them, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea so that it will calm down for you, for I know that I'm to blame." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get back to dry lands, but they couldn't because the sea was raging against them more and more. So they called out to the Lord, "Please, Lord, don't let us perish because of this man's life, and don't charge us with innocent blood, for you, Lord, have done just as you please." Then they picked up Jonah and threw him into the sea, and the sea stopped its raging. The men were seized by great fear of the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. The Lord appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. Isn't that a great story? And you know, when you read God's word, the way it is written and the way it is translated, when the storm first came up, it said they prayed to their gods with a little g. And it says when Jonah, they went to him, he told them that he followed the Lord, all capitals, the way it's written in most translations of the Bible. And then, before the storm was over, the scripture reads that those men on the ship, they prayed to Jonah's God. Even in disobeying God, and then witnessing that he had disobeyed God, Jonah calls those men to follow him. Wonder whatever happened to those men. The men that went back to the port without their load because they threw it over into the sea. But imagine what they told their families, that when we cried out to God with a capital G, that the storm ceased. Guys, if we will acknowledge God, and we will pour our hearts out to God, and we will witness of God, people's lives will be changed. And so, that was free. Now we'll get on with the sermon. Jonah received a word from the Lord. I was at Caswell this week. I left here Tuesday about lunchtime and went down to Caswell for a vacation of one night. Wow. Drive 6 hours. You unload all the props and all the stuff for the summer and all those shirts that I'd picked up in Shelby for them. And you get down there and you spend a couple hours going over Bible studies and making sure everything's all right. And you get up and you drive home the next day. When Ann retires and maybe life slows down, we may take 2 days during that week and go down there. Not much of a vacation. But I stayed in the conference center. Some of y'all have been down there. It's nice. It's like a big motel. It's not like carrying a sleeping bag and stuff. They actually have towels and all that stuff for you. And I had this whole conference center room to myself. And I called Ann that night and I sang, "Sleeping single in a double bed." You know that old country song. Because I was by myself in this two-bedroom thing. And I just sang. That's scary. But I had time. And so I read through the book of Jonah again as I was preparing for this week. And the thing that stuck out in my mind, it's actually used twice in the book of Jonah. And that's the start of chapter 1 and the start of chapter 3 when Jonah got about God's business. It says this, that the word of the Lord came to Jonah. And that phrase stuck in my mind all night. I don't sleep too soundly. I get stuff on my mind, and I was trying to prepare for a sermon, and I'd wake up, and I would think about the word of the Lord came to Jonah. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, and I was thinking, how does the word of the Lord come to me, and what is the word of the Lord that is coming to me? And I think out of the whole book of Jonah, one of the most important statements in there is the word of the Lord came to Jonah. Because God had a task for Jonah. And then I would say this before we dig too much deeper in it, that God does not give us a task that we cannot do. God wanted Jonah to go to Nineveh to preach. But God had equipped him. The thing that we learned in there this morning in Sunday school is that God equips us for what he wants us to do. And folks, I hope all of you will get on board for that late renewal weekend. We know we kind of threw you a curveball this morning. The last Green River Associational meeting, they talked about late renewal weekends, and our association voted to do those, and our church wants to be a part of that. And that is a weekend where those of us who are in churches and not full-time ministers, we get together and we renew ourselves. It's like an in-house revival, and it's a really good thing. And we plan to have stuff on paper for you because it's easier to see on paper. But Bob and Phyllis were going to be in this area, and they could come today, so it kind of got thrown on you. But trust me, it's going to be a good thing, and we'll all be better off because of it. But we will learn that God has a plan and purpose for us, what he wants us to do, and he will gift us with it. And God did not ask Jonah to do anything that he did not already have him prepared to do. But look at where Jonah went. Jonah was probably somewhere between Joppa and Jerusalem because he was an Israelite. And God asked him to go to Nineveh, which is up here to where the arrow's pointing, which is about 550 miles, which that's a pretty long day. You drive to Caswell, that's 300 miles and 300 miles back in 2 days. I was kind of worn out, much less walking or riding a donkey. But God wanted him to go there. And Jonah didn't bat an eye. He said, "I'm not going." And he went down to Joppa, the port city, and he got on a boat to go over here to go to Spain. And he was going to get out of Dodge. He was not going to do what God wanted him to do. And the next slide is absolutely wrong because I don't know what I was doing. But where was Nineveh? Nineveh was in Persia. It's near Mosul, Iraq, modern day. About 550 miles. I don't know why I put Italy there, but it's nowhere near Spain where he was headed. The map, Italy's over here and Spain's over here, so he went on farther. But Jonah had no intentions of doing what God wanted him to do. And then the question that I have for us today is this. Wonder why Jonah didn't want to go. Has God ever called you to do something you didn't want to do? Or ask you to do something you didn't want to do? Maybe this. Maybe Jonah just didn't like those people. You know, people do Facebook and all that kind of stuff, and somebody writes something, they put thumbs up, like it. I don't understand Facebook. I don't understand what y'all do on Facebook, to be honest with you. Somebody can write some of the sorriest stuff in the world, and somebody put a thumb up like they like it, and I'm scratching my head. I don't even know. So maybe Jonah gave them the thumbs down. Maybe he just didn't like them. Then maybe Jonah just had his mind. That was not part of his plan. God called him to do something, but hey, buddy, that's not part of my plan. Then maybe Jonah felt like he was too busy. I don't know. Maybe he was too busy to go tell people about God. Then maybe he was scared. Have you ever been afraid? God called you to do something and you're scared to death? Then I ask you this, maybe Jonah just said it's just not my style to be a minister for you. You know, we make all kinds of excuses not to do what God wants us to do. And before we get to why we should do the things God wants us to do, I would say to you that this is very personal to me. 1979, I went to Mars Hill College. Stayed in Melrose Dorm. Up there on top of the hill, I think they've changed the name of it now. Somebody must have given a little more money than the Melrose family, you know. But my room, my first year, was right next to the chimney. Wasn't too bad in the summertime when the heat wasn't on. But in the wintertime, about 3,000 degrees in that room, and it'd be 0 degrees outside, and we had the windows wide open, still sweating when you're sleeping because that chimney was hot. And I didn't sleep a lot of nights because of the heat, because God was talking to me. I was a good kid. I didn't do a whole lot wrong. I was a fighting kid and some of that kind of stuff. By the time I got to Mars Hill, I pretty much had the roads straightened out and we were doing all right. But God was saying to me, Bruce, I want you to go into some kind of ministry. And I can relate to Jonah because I said, God, I don't want to go into some kind of ministry. I didn't want to be a preacher. Now, I really don't know why. Every preacher I'd ever known was a pretty good fella. My great uncle was a preacher, and he was one of the nicest men I've ever met, but for some reason, I didn't want to be a preacher. Didn't want to be a minister. I was comfortable. Had too much to do. I was too busy. It wasn't my style. I was scared people may not like me. I could, just like Jonah, have every excuse in the world not to do what God wanted me to do. And that went on through that winter and that fall semester and that spring semester. And it got worse and it got worse and it got worse. And I slept less and I slept less and I slept less because I was wrestling with God every night. You know, in daytime, you can occupy your mind. You ever thought about that? You can occupy your mind during the day. But boy, when you hit that bed at night, ooh, God will speak to you. Next Sunday, Tim's going to share about God speaking to him. Y'all make sure you're here next Sunday and ask everybody in the world, Tim, you going to sing a solo? You sang one does not. That's pretty good, wasn't it? But Tim's going to share his experience of last summer about a year ago, how he didn't think he'd be here today. You want to be here for that. But Tim, at night, man, you got a lot of time with God and yourself, don't you? And that's the way it was. God was just dealing with me. And I didn't flee. I just didn't respond. And then that summer, somebody couldn't go to Caswell, and I drove the bus to Caswell. And I guess I went down there to check out the girls. I don't know. I really wasn't in tune to go and hear what God said, but God spoke, and I listened. And I got in line with what God wanted me to do, and nowhere near perfect, but at least we got that part figured out. But why don't we tell people about Jesus? Why don't we do the things that God wants us to do? And gosh, we just don't like people. Nineveh was modern day Iraq. How many of us want to go to Iraq and tell people about Jesus? We don't like them, do we? They're terrorists. They're mean. No, there's a lot of good people there that need to hear about Jesus. And God might be saying to us, I want you to go to Nineveh, modern-day Mosul, Iraq, to tell people about me because I love them. And folks, we've got to share with people because why? Because the Bible tells us to. The Bible says, love your neighbor as yourself. And when we love our neighbors as ourselves, we will want to tell them about Jesus. And Jesus doesn't stop there. He says, love your enemies. Ooh. Do good to those that hate you. Ouch. Bless those who curse you. Double ouch. Pray for those who mistreat you. That's the hardest one of all. If you walk up after church and you bop me upside my head, it's hard to pray for you because I want to bop you back. God tells us to show love to people. And then maybe we say it's not part of my plan. That was my thing in life. I had my life all planned out. When I was a freshman at Mars Hill, my goal in life was to get that degree in biology, have a concentration in chemistry, and go to medical school. I had it all planned out. I didn't need God's plan. But it's not my plan. It's got to be His plan. God's plans for us far exceed the circumstances of our day. We can't see the future. Jonah had no clue what God's plans were. He just knew it didn't fit his plans. God says in Isaiah, I have made you and I will carry you and I will sustain you and I will rescue you. God loves us so much that He's got everything planned out for us in a real and good way. And then we've got to realize that God's plan is greater than our plan could ever be. You know, if I would have gone on at Mars Hill and I had finished my degree in biology and had my concentration in chemistry, and I would have gone to med school and I would have become some kind of doctor, I would have been the most miserable person on the face of the earth, because I wouldn't have been in God's plan. And even now, what God's Holy Spirit is questioning you about is this: are you in God's plan? Are you doing what God wants you to do? And some of us here are some of the most miserable people in the world because we're not doing what God wants us to do. A verse that my wife taught me to hang on to is this: "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." Folks, that picture there is of a road, and you can't see around the curves, and we don't know what's around the curves, but I assure you this, that God does, and if he will let him drive, he will take us in the right place. God makes everything work out according to his plan. Guys, God is so much bigger than us. And God can take us, and when we fail, when we sin, when we mess up miserably, if we will turn back to God, he will get us back on his plan. How many preachers have I seen that have changed gears, changed jobs, changed professions because they just couldn't handle it, or they didn't want to handle it, or they messed up somewhere along the way, and they got out of ministry, and they were some of the most miserable people in the world, but they repented, gave it back to God, got back to doing what God wants them to do, and they're thriving. And that works the same for all of us in our lives. If we'll stay in God's plan, it'll all work out. Then we're too busy. Nobody is too busy. It's just a matter of priorities. Last time I checked, most of us do just about what we want to do. I know we can get busy. We can get busy taking care of family members. We can get busy doing our jobs. But folks, if we will make God our first priority, we will find that we have time to do what he wants us to do. The next slide I just thought was cool. I'm too busy to tell people how busy I am. You ever get that way? Like a dog chasing his tail, we just run in circles. It's not about having time, it's about making time. And folks, we will make time for whatever we want. Then sometimes we get afraid, and I would say to this, be still before the Lord. Wait patiently for him. He will show us what we need to do. He will just set things in motion. He says, be still and know that I am God. And he tells us that he is always with us, even to the end of the time. You know that wherever we are, that's where he is, there to lead us and guide us. Read this and thought it was neat. The Bible says, do not fear 365 times. That's enough for one for every day, that we don't have to fear a thing. And I assure you this, that if God tells you to do something, he's already there to make a way. Let your faith be bigger than your fear, because God is there. And then a statement that somewhere came in my head this morning, I wanted to write it down while it was there, says this: God will not lead you anywhere he has not already been. When you get there, he will be there because he walked beside you on your way. And you think about Jonah. God told Jonah to go to Nineveh and tell those mean, evil people about his love for them. And it's like God telling us today to go around the world and tell people about Jesus. God's telling us to talk to those sorry neighbors that we have and tell them about Jesus. God's telling us to talk to those family members that we don't count, to tell them about Jesus. And I got tickled. And there's a sign out there in your mom and daddy's house that our cousins had out there, and it said, Caldwell Family Reunion, June 4th at Mount Rahama Baptist Church Fellowship Hall. She said, you going? I said, I ain't kidding them people. You know, just they're good people, but we do that sometimes. We have family members that we just don't associate that closely with, but God wants us to tell them about Jesus. And he'll open doors and he'll make a way. And you know, it's hard. I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that it's not hard to do what God wants you to do, but I assure you this, that if you'll do it, he'll open the doors and he'll make a way, and he'll even give you the words to say. It's absolutely amazing to me that sometimes I'm around people that can't breathe for talking all the time. yak, 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 yak. You ask them to tell somebody about Jesus, they don't have a word to say. I'm like, what's wrong with you? Talk about it, because you can tell people what to say. We read the next verse, and it says, and he sat down and called the 12, and he said this to them, if any woman be first, he must be last of all, and a servant to all. My friends, if God is first in our lives, then we will be a servant. Then we say, it's not my style. Well, let me show you one thing. God's style is the style. And if you will let God lead you, you can do great things. Then the book goes on. The rest of the story is this, that Jonah lives. He got in that belly of the fish. And we assume it's a whale because that's the biggest fish we know. He got in that belly of that big old fish. And he stayed for 3 days. And he's in the belly of that fish. He got things right with God. You understand that? We started to, Jordan and Kobe helped me out. We was going to have, we had it all worked out. Kobe was going to come out. He was going to be Jonah. And, you know, Kobe has no whiskers. He's trying. Because you're young. Before long, you'll be shaving. You'll say, I wish these things would go away. Isn't that right? And all of us get them old hard whiskers that dig into your skin. We were going to have Kobe come out, and he was going to be Jonah and have the story on the boat and throw him in the water. And we started to throw him in the baptismal pool. We decided that might be a little sacrilege. We just weren't sure quite how to do that. But then they were going to use the same wig, and Jordan was going to come out with a 3-day beard and stink and wet. Because imagine what Jonah was in the belly of that fish. You may have been went fishing last week, fish stink. What the inside of them smells like. Didn't take Jonah long to get things right with God. Jonah lived and the whale threw him up on the beach. And Jonah went running to go to Nineveh. And the people repented. And then it ends up that Jonah's still human, isn't he? He got mad because they repented. You know, still had a bad attitude. But guys, my message to you today is this. Do what God's calling you to do. It says, and the word of the Lord came to Jonah. And our message today is the word of the Lord came to Spencer Church. The word of the Lord came to John. The word of the Lord came to Perry. The word of the Lord came to Holland. The word of the Lord came to Elizabeth. And we could go all the way around the room and say that. But whatever God is calling you to do today, would you do it? And it may be something simple. Just like witnessing to your neighbors. It may be something simple, doing a good deed for somebody. But whatever God wants you to do, would you do it? Then I would say to you today, ask you this question as we come to invitation. Could your name be Jonah? Gosh, my name was Jonah for so long because I wouldn't do what God wanted me to do. But today, would you listen to God? And do what he wants you to do, because he's there with you. He's not asking you to do anything he has not equipped or prepared you to do. Would you pray with me? God, thank you so much for loving us and caring for us. And thank you that you talk to us, that you speak to us. And God, I figure that most of us could go home today and said that a word of the Lord came to me. And the question is, what we're going to do to follow up? God, I pray that you would just speak to us clearly. Give us strength to respond. And give us strength to do whatever it is that you're calling us to do. Lord, we love you and thank you. And pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand and would you sing hymn number 447, Trust and Obey. And as you sing that, will you sing with conviction and trust and obey?